Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our conversation that's about Jesus as us. And again, we're here today. I'm Dennis Dierdorf, hosting this conversation with the Bettendorfs in Tualatin, Oregon, David Fulton in Spokane Valley, and Arnold Quigley making his way back from Eugene down to Southern California.
Arnold and Julie were driving together.
Arnold and Julie, yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank
well,
you.
And we just hit on a point here. Arnold has come out of a family situation, just losing a family member, his mother-in-law, Julie's mother. And talking about those environments in which people are not necessarily open to scripture or Bible, what do we say? What do we do? David, you were just commenting that sometimes it's better off to not even use any scripture. I have certainly found that true. I was thinking as you were mentioning this over the years, doing numbers and numbers of funerals for what we used to call unchurched or regenerate people. And I knew that they'd have very little knowledge or even any traction or affection for scripture. So I'd find myself being very, very generic, talking about life, talking about love, talking about hope. This is certainly the age in which we need to be aware that not everybody thinks like we do or has the past of religious knowledge or Bible knowledge. And it's going to be important in order how to communicate. Dave, you made an interesting statement about Jesus when he made his statements. You were saying that a lot of people assume that he was quoting scripture.
Yeah, I mean, the only scripture that Jesus quoted was out of the Torah, because the New Testament didn't exist.
Exactly.
Okay, and as I was mentioning earlier before we started recording, I had challenged the young men and women that I've mentored over the years to learn to share truth and scripture without quoting scripture. Share the gospel without quoting scripture. And at first, it was very difficult for them. I got a little bit of pushback on it. But then I pointed out that Jesus never quoted scripture other than what came out of the Torah. But what he said became scripture.
Amen. Yeah.
Okay. So Jesus was sharing truth and love without quoting scripture.
And as bizarre as this may sound, guys, and call me the heretic, I don't care. But the words that we speak are Christ. And we are... where our association is being built around the common idea that we live as Christ. Christ lives in us. So it's not a far stretch to believe what we say. And of course, we've been talking about actions. But now when we put words out there, we are speaking Christ. Jesus is the ever-speaking of the Father. We are the ever-speaking of Jesus. And our words are life. And especially when we couch them that way, when we're talking about bringing all things to good, we're speaking life. And there's so many ways that we can say and I believe put those words out there without quoting something or referencing a Bible verse. We can say those things in so many ways that are very, very relational, very, very appropriate to where people are. And that's what Jesus was doing.
I want to give you kind of an example of what you're saying, Dennis. I'm going to try to show you a picture here. I don't know if you'll be able to see it. It looks like a pretty... Can you guys see that at all?
Yeah, we can see, two kids.
Now, actually, what it is, it's a mother running with a disabled young man.
Oh, wow.
The disabled young man is a member of the Riverside Rams cross-country team. That's the high school and cross-country team that my two grandkids run on. This lady has run every meet with this young man. And I took that picture a couple of weeks ago, and I asked my son-in-law, I said, I've noticed that she's been running every meet, so she must be running with her son. He goes, no, that's not her son. I said,
oh,
what? He goes, no, it's his parents, you know, they're well-failed parents, they're drunk, or, you know, they're not involved in his life.
Oh, wow.
This lady actually has two sons of her own who are on the same team. But she runs with this young man. Every meet, she runs with him. 3.1 mile is the distance of the cross-country race. So last week was the last, well, this past Friday was the last meet of the season. Okay? And I had been thinking over the last couple of weeks, this lady is just something special.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I walked up to her after the meet, and I just put my arm around her, and I said, you are the embodiment of everything that's good about humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Just hugged her, and I walked off. Okay? Mm-hmm. There was no sense of God leading me to do this. I wasn't even thinking about Christ in me. I was focused on the race, okay? My kids had done well. They had made tremendous improvement over the summer or over the season. And I was focused on this lady and just the good that she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who she was other than one of the moms on the team. So later that night, I get a text message from my daughter. And she says, my friend Melanie mentioned an older gentleman who hugged her right after Sam's finish and made her day and made her cry in her Facebook post. I informed her that that person was my dad. She had no idea and wants me to thank you with a big, big hug for your love and support right when she needed it.
Oh, David.
So I read that post and I go, holy crap, that was a God thing.
It was a God thing.
You know, because I had no idea what she needed. I just walked up and wanted to thank her for doing something wonderful. But it was because of that last statement. It's what I needed. I realized that was a God thing.
Well, the prompting, Dave, you saw that in her, or you saw her need, but more than that, you wanted to really express, even beyond her need, you wanted to express something of value that you saw here. You wanted to express something that you see, you don't often see in humanity today.
Yeah.
You were calling out the goodness.
I mean, you know, what I learned about this lady from my daughter and son-in-law is that not only does she run with this kid, she'll buy him clothes. She makes sure he's taken care of because his parents are just so out of it.
Wow.
He has been accepted and loved by the entire team and by the majority of students at school.
Is there anything recorded about her, or is there any, like, you showed a picture, is it on Facebook or someplace? Would there be some way that people could?
I can ask Jennifer to post what she's got. She took some pictures Friday because She took some pictures of Sam finishing the race and the clock.
Okay.
And this is, she sends them to the coach. He sends them to the state to show them that this kid is really doing this, and it gets the kid some sort of state support, financial support. Okay. So anyway, I can find out what Jennifer has and get copies of them.
I love it. I'd love to be able to link a source to our comment page or on our post for this video or this podcast, and people could go and see that. That is a real treasure. And what an illustration, Dave, of how Jesus wants to speak and does speak through us. You're absolutely right. There was no scripture.
I mean, I don't even know where this lady's coming from. If, from a religious standpoint, it really doesn't matter at this point.
No,
it's just that she was doing something incredible,
and you showed appreciation for that,
yeah.
Speaking value and appreciation, and speaking goodness. See, how often we have opportunities like that where Christ wants to affirm others through us. And outside of religious context or any frame of reference to Bible, that communicates so deep. That's going to have a long lasting impression in that woman. Have you had anybody do that for you some at points? Any of us? Have you found somebody that spoke to you in appropriate time? And it was, let me put it this way. Have you ever had what we would call a non-Christian speak value or goodness into your life?
No, probably.
Well, I have to say that, probably most of my experiences have been Christian, but they have not been Bible rooted or oriented. They are just good people, good intentions, leading me to being a better woman, wife, mother.
Right.
All of that has been very important in my growth. And I have not been influenced by somebody telling me to refer to a certain Bible or scripture. But what is important to me right now, Dennis, is that as we make our changes, as Jerry and I walk through our Christian life and feel like we're improving, we are growing, we are getting to something that is really, really meaningful. All the things that you and all of us are expressing that mean a difference to me are that it's biblically oriented, that it has grounding, that there is a substance to it. It isn't just your idea.
Right.
It's grounded in scripture. And that is really, really important to me. But it hasn't been, as I've met with difficulties in my life, and somebody would hold my hand and say, well, go to Acts 23 or whatever, that really didn't mean a whole heart-wrenching change in my life at that time.
Right.
But it does now.
Okay. so well, Joni, thank you. Spoken so well. Of course, everything we understand together and everything we see is built out of God's truth, out of what God says, and it's recorded for us. But at the same time, I think of what Paul said, we are all living letters, living epistles. We have the grounding. We can go to the letter. We can find it codified and recorded in a word form. But when it comes to applying that word in the world, I believe the best communication is through this, what Paul refers to as living epistle. And I've often wondered how you describe what it means to be a living epistle. Well, I believe what we're talking about here today are examples, are illustrations of that, where we find ourselves just speaking goodness, just speaking life, wholeness, love, hope, appreciation, affirmation. That's all coming right out of the heart of Christ. That is the what I believe is what it means to be a living, relational, let's say, human epistle. I hate to use the word human, but flesh epistle. Yeah.
Well, I guess you could say that the disciples and Paul and Timothy and all those guys were living epistles, because again, same thing. They weren't quoting scripture.
No. And you're right, Dave. After the fact, it was recorded.
Yeah.
And it became treasured in words so that we could read it and build our faith upon it. Have you ever, any of you, thought that your what you write and what you say today may someday be words that people, or if it's ever put into a recording or a diary or whatever, may actually become scripture to somebody? That's a phenomenal idea.
It's almost scary.
It's scary.
It's filled with my isms.
Wow. How can and only the Spirit of God can superintend that. Not everything we say, of course, is going to be verifiably stand up to what's recorded in God's Word. I'm not saying that, but I believe that there are a lot of things that we say that have spiritual or let's say inspirational quality to other people. You've read books, as I have, and the authors that I've suggested and that I've particularly that I read, I find, while they're not quote unquote biblical, they've become biblical to me. Maybe some of you are reading, still reading Norman Grubb. Now, most people would not consider his books to be biblical on the same plane as the Bible, but have you not found God speaking? And in fact, more in some ways, more relevant to your need. I know I'm walking on treacherous ground here.
Amen, Dennis. Amen.
There was a time, guys, when I was first into this revelation. I have to confess to you, I was not reading the Bible per se for about 2 or 3 years. I just put it aside. And I was reading pretty much, not exclusively, but predominantly reading pretty much these authors that I've suggested have been so formative for me. And then at a point, I found myself saying, okay, I've been reading these people long enough. I'll go back to the Bible. And an interesting thing happened. The Bible opened up to me as I'd never had it before. I went back to those same scriptures that I'd been reading prior and found something different. Now, it may sound strange, and you may not be able to quite relate, but I've thought about that many times. It's almost like God said, I want you to put away the Bible. I want you to listen to me through these various people. And when you find that this is planted in your heart, in your spirit, then I want you to go back and look again afresh at my word. I'm telling you, it's been quite an experience.
Yeah, I think I shared with you years ago, Dennis, because I think you've done something very similar, that I think I mentioned to you that when I read a book by some author, and whether it be Chuck Swindoll or one of these guys who put out a Christian book, I don't necessarily read it as the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I read it from the standpoint of having a conversation with the author, and he's expressing his ideas,
mm-hmm.
which then leaves it open for me to accept or reject.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And by the same token, reading a book that way, as though it's a conversation and the author is sharing his ideas, mm-hmm. getting away from, oh, he's a renowned author, so this is gospel.
You're right.
So getting away from that concept, it does the same thing. You can go back and look at the scripture that author quoted, and you may see something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can totally understand what you're saying, and it makes perfect sense to me. There is more to God speaking to us than just the Bible.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Where would we be without the written word? As Joni, you point out, that's been our grounding. That's our point of reference. But it doesn't stop there. The revelation God is bringing to us just is so far beyond what the limitations of words can bring.
Well, yeah, go back and look at Abraham.
Yeah.
What did he have to work with?
Right.
You know, what did Adam have to work with?
Mm-hmm.
Other than a female that wouldn't cook dinner for him, so he ate the apple because he was hungry. Anyway, you look at the early people of the Bible, what did they have to go on?
Mm-hmm.
Other than they figured out that if there was this God and if they listened to him, things might go pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you're right, they didn't have any scriptural founded things that they were following, any textual references. It was pretty much make it up as you go.
You know, and the sad part about it is too many people don't believe that God will still talk to them
mm-hmm.
that same way.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I got to have the Bible. You mm-hmm. know, you'll remember years ago when I put out this questionnaire about start out with, do we need the Bible? And, you know, I made reference to Abraham, Moses, Joseph, and these other people who really didn't have a lot of scripture to go on. And all I did was get a lot of pushback from pastors and other Christians going, basically, I was a heretic and I was worshiping the wrong Jesus and,
yeah,
and all this
right.
stuff.
Right.
Because we have forgotten
mm-hmm.
that God wants to talk to us personally.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't necessarily have to have your nose in the Bible for that to happen.
See, we share. So right, Dave, we've closed off so many ways. We've put God in a box and made him not able to speak to us at all, excepting if we are actually reading the Bible. That's what I grew up learning. Now, you couldn't trust anything that you heard from anywhere else, any other sources. Nothing pure or spiritual could come from those sources. It had to come out of your reading of Scripture. And when you look at the Scripture that way, it is powerfully misusing it. It's abusing it for what it was intended. Of course, God superintended the collection of these stories, these dialogues, these narratives, and if we didn't have them, by far we'd be so ignorant of God's revelation. But God, at the same time, is not limited by that. He gives us that base, gives us that point of reference. It's history, it's important, but by far it does not cut off all the ways beyond that that God continues to speak. And my contention is that he's speaking, not only is you're hearing him in your spirit, but he's speaking through multitude of voices and sources. Paul says he speaks through nature. He speaks through creation. He speaks in the stars. But most importantly, what I feel is that I hear him speak through others and various other, not what we would call non-biblical sources. And we see truth is, all truth is of God. And as we've established the foundation, God is all in all. We live in him. Everything we have to look at from the standpoint, what are you doing, God? I'm living in your universe. What are you saying through this source or that medium, whatever? And we learn to decipher that, of course, through our spiritual filter. And oftentimes, well, I've heard some powerful things from people I would have never put into or qualified as appropriate sources. And that's what makes this life so exciting to me. God is ever present and speaking through people everywhere. And I'm hearing things. Yeah, my mind is drawn to a little old lady that I had never met before. She was a tenant with her husband on an old farmhouse that was on the property my folks had purchased. And my dad and I were down in the barnyard, and this house was adjacent to the barnyard. And she came walking down into the barnyard and saw me. I had never met her before. And she looked at me and said to me, "Boy, are you going to make a," these aren't her exact words, but the idea was, "You're going to be a preacher someday." Mm-hmm. And it flabbergasted me. I didn't know her from the lady in the moon. And later I discovered she did have a wonderful faith, very, very Bible centered lady. I didn't know that, but that stuck with me and was one of those guiding points in my life. And I'll never forget that. That was only one of many ways and times that God spoke to me.
I want to digress a little bit, Dennis, and I've shared this story with you. I don't think Jerry and Joni have heard it, but when you talked about God, Paul referencing that God speaks through nature, do you remember? You remember my trips to Serbia?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Mijo Stankovic, the pastor that I worked with in Serbia, was telling me a story one day. Under when Yugoslavia, Serbia, Croatia, Bosnia were all part of Yugoslavia before the breakup of communism. But under the communism, Yugoslavia was ruled by Joseph Tito. Okay. And he was a little more lenient on allowing people to have the religious gatherings. As long as you kept it indoors, didn't take it to the street, he wasn't going to bother with it. Okay, whereas in other communist countries, they would even raid houses to break up religion. But Tito wasn't going to be bothered with breaking into houses, just keep it off the street.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one pastor got to preaching on the street, so he gets hauled in to the police station. He's told to report to the police station, they want to talk to him. And he walks in carrying a big rock. And he sits down at the table, and he sits down on the, sets the rock on the table, and the interrogator is questioning about what he's doing on the street. You can't be doing this. We're going to have to shut you up. He says, well, you can shut me up, but if you shut me up, then this rock is going to cry out. And they decided he was crazy, so they let him go.
Excuse me. Yeah, you shut me up, but you don't want these rocks talking.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Well,
yeah, I mean, you can see, you know, I've shared with you how Don Brenham and I would go on prayer walks before we headed off to Africa for one of our mission trips. And quite often we would go into a forest, we'd go to the ocean. And it's amazing when you isolate yourself in a forest or in an ocean, somewhere in nature,
mm-hmm.
desert, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to find God.
Mm-hmm.
And you are going to see God in new ways. You're going to hear God speak to you in new ways.
Right.
Okay. Because Paul's right. All of nature is God.
Yeah.
And he's going to speak to you through all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing, some of the revelations I had in those times. Some of the things that God shared with me.
And sometimes, Dave, so deep. There's just, it's so deep that you don't have words to describe, or words to put with it, that revelation. So you just hear and know something so profound. David, in one of the Psalms, talks about God speaking. How does he verse it? The deep unto deep. He's referring to a waterfall. And how there's something about that waterfall that speaks to the deep things of God. And he's obviously being very, very mystical, but at the same time, he's talking about how deep and profound God speaks to us.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no words. It's something that can never be expressed. I believe that's what Paul experiences. He was taken into the third heaven. He saw and heard things, and God says to him, forget putting that in words. Don't try it. And so we just let it go. It just speaks to our spirit so deep. Don't even try to write about it. It's beyond words.
Well, yeah, and sometimes I think what God speaks to us is solely for us.
Yeah, exactly. And can you trust, though, here, when we're saying this, I wonder if people are afraid because they don't know or understand that God has given us the filter. It gives us a means by which we can detect if that's really of the spirit of error or the spirit of truth. We know it. He gives us this. I don't know what it would call it necessarily, but I've used the word filter, but it's deeper than that. It's a discernment. I've had that. I've heard people say something to me, and I knew right away. No, that's I don't think that's on the mark. I wrote this week about the problem in the Church of Thyatira. And there was a situation in that church, and I'm referring to, of course, for most of us, our listeners, watchers, to the book of Revelation. In the first couple chapters, we have the seven letters, and one of the letters is the Church of Thyatira. And Jesus calls that church out for associating with a woman by the name of Jezebel. And whether or not there was an actual person by that name, but whatever, there was someone, likely a woman, who was claiming herself as a prophetess. And what she was saying was actually misleading people. And what she was professing was not encouraging or developing people's faith as much as they were misled into what he said is prostitution and eating of idol sacrifices, which are metaphors for the mixing of truth and the demonic. I thought when I read that, and when I was thinking, and God is opening this up to me, there have been many times in my past in which I have heard people speak a word, and I just sensed something deep in me, maybe not at first, but I thought, this is not, it's not connecting, and it just hasn't smacked of God. And later on, these people are, let's say, exposed, and you find they are full of error and corruption. I remember in one of my first churches and first pastorates, we had an individual that really operated very, very charismatically in the giftings, and people were very drawn to her. And I listened to her, and she said some things to me that did make sense, but then I just had this quenching in my spirit. No. And I warned some people about her. Well, then it was made aware her life was a real mess. And she later disappeared. That's just one story. And I'm sure you've had cases like that too. So what I'm getting at is that God has given us that ability to discern. When we hear people or things that we come across, we'll know if they're of God or not.
Remember that young man I had in one of my men's groups who claimed to be a prophet?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And some of these people are pretty obvious in that they're quackery or they're masquerading. It's the ones that are more subtle are the ones you have trouble with. Mm-hmm. That you don't know at first. It becomes because they seem so appealing and so attractive. And I know all of us have had those occasions to come across people like that.
Well, and you know, you also find it in so many Christian writings, so many books.
Oh, you're right.
You know, right. Oh, this is a pure desire, for example. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is right on. This is the answer to everything, and all it does is make the situation worse.
Exactly.
Because mm-hmm. it keeps you focused on the wrong thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll just share to being a little more transparent. I was very drawn to in my latter years at the previous church where I was pastoring, associate pastoring, very drawn to a deliverance ministry. And if you've been around any kinds of deliverance ministries, they have a certain appeal and attraction, especially to people that are needy. And of course, the whole attraction is that people can get freedom or supposed freedom if we follow these certain steps or have someone pray over you or whatever. And at first, and for the first couple of years that we were involved in that ministry, there were some amazing things that I saw God do and that he allowed us to participate with. People were set free, an amazing insight into the demonic and the spiritual oppression that people can become involved with. But as I grew in that ministry and I was given the opportunity to assume some leadership, and at one point they asked me if I would take over a certain section of the country and represent that ministry to churches, I couldn't explain it, but there was a certain uncomfortableness. And as I look back on that, I've always wondered, why was that? Why couldn't I? Because it was so appealing and it was so attractive to become involved in something that I thought at the time was going to be a landmark ministry and helpful to so many people in our churches that were just suffering in bondage. But God said no, not in those certain terms. That ministry has all but disappeared. And at the time, I couldn't explain why it was doing so much for people, and it seemed so powerful and authentic. But I just trusted him that this was the direction. I'm so glad I listened to his voice, and because it went nowhere. It just the ministry just kind of imploded on itself. I look at it and I realize as I was giving an appraisal in my mind, I'm thinking, what was really wrong? And then it became more and more clear to me. It was not Christ-focused. It was about other ways and other things other than Jesus. And it seemed to, at the time, to have all of the elements of Christ-centered, but it was not. And so as I look back on it, God was preparing me and leading me so carefully to see him alone and Christ alone in everything that I do. So I don't, you know, in so many ways, I've found how God, he's there leading us. He's speaking to us in all these different ways. At the same time, he's given us the filter and discernment to know what to spit out and what to accept.
You know, Dennis, we're, I wouldn't say caught up, but really somewhat involved with Promise Keepers and then
mm-hmm. yep.
Bill Gothard and right. Basic Youth Conflicts. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, we come from the Catholic direction, which the Bible wasn't that out front with the mm-hmm. religion.
Right.
And so those things that, you know, Basic Youth and all that just was, man, our minds almost exploded because it was such a,
right.
you know, it just grabbed a hold of you. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. And then after a while I thought, gee, I can't do anything without memorizing scripture. You know, I had to wake up in the morning and start memorizing scripture, you know.
That's right.
Which I hadn't done before.
Right, right. So, and we've talked about some of these ministries you just mentioned, Jerry, and it's interesting that as we look around, those ministries aren't they're not, as we say, active anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but as you pointed out, and in your involvement in that healing ministry, God still uses it.
Oh, yeah, you know, definitely.
You may remember the turmoil I went through when I was challenged by my men's group to bring my son over from, I was living in Portland at the time, to bring him over from Spokane to go to Promise Keepers with
right,
me.
Right, right.
Okay. I mean, mm-hmm. it was like, I was in complete turmoil on that.
Sure.
And it And I realized it wasn't so much Sean going down and professing a faith in Jesus Christ. It was more about what God was doing for Sean and I. And how God was really cementing the relationship between me and my son.
You bet.
You know, the idea of Sean going down at the altar call, sure, that was a wonderful thing. I mean, he really has nothing to do with religion now. But it was really more about God bringing me and my son together in a stronger bond than we already had.
Sure, sure. Those ministries had powerful impacts on our lives. Jerry,
well, every one of these things that Jerry said that we went through were steps toward getting us to where we are now.
Amen.
They were important to us, and they made us, at the time, made us better partners, better parents. And I just am so thankful for the progress that we feel happening now in what we're talking about, and realizing that it does say in the Bible that Jesus is in me and that my sins are forgiven. That that's all grounded in scripture. But each one of those programs that Jerry referred to were big steps in our growth.
If you could believe this, when we got involved with Basic Youth, I think it was
right.
We're involved with a lot of programs at the Catholic Church, and so we got up at the pulpit. Joan and I at a Catholic Mass got up in the pulpit and were promoting Basic Youth. Can you believe that? I mean,
That was pretty avant-garde. That was stretching it, Jerry. I tell you,
that was stretching it. Yeah.
Yeah. And boy, again, tremendous value in those ministries, and those leaders. And we have to look at them that way. God used those to bring us personally through and develop our own lives. Do they become the end all? No. Yeah. See, and that's how we have to hold on to any of those kinds of things. We have to say, God used them, but they were not the all and end all. And we have to find ourselves completely engrossed just in them and them alone. And I feel sorry for people who put their lives and invested so much into those ministries and then have them pass away. And where are they now, you see?
Yeah.
It's almost like you feel, well, God pulled the rug out from me, took away, or this ministry's gone, and I no longer have an identity. Well, see, that's the issue.
Yeah.
You know, you also see that in people who get involved in some sort of church. I'm a teacher there. I'm teaching the third grade. I'm teaching whatever. They have some duty. And they won't leave it.
Right.
It's time to move on, but no, this is what I was called to do.
Yeah.
And they rob themselves of continued growth.
Sure. I remember my own dad, very, very church centered and very religious and very devout. And when the charismatic or Pentecostal movement came through, it really, one of my uncles, my mother's brother, got very involved and began talking about speaking in tongues and healing and whatever. My dad went ballistic. He said, hey, we're not going to have anything. That's of the devil. We're not going to be part of that at all. I said, wait a minute, Dad. Even as a young boy, I wondered how he could have just slammed the door. But, you know, God bless him. He was trying to hold on to the framework of the truth. And preserve the sanctity of his Christian faith. It wasn't going to be taken away in any heretical movements.
Yeah.
My uncle was a dear man. And he got very involved in organizations like the Full Gospel Businessmen. I don't know if you remember that organization.
Yeah.
Very charismatic business association. And they had a lot of impact in business and leaders. And he was very involved in that and helped start several little churches. God was using him mightily. And so Dad had to, he finally, later in his life, he had to finally come around and say, well, okay, that's for him. Okay, Dad, sure, yeah. But God, amazing, God could be speaking through Uncle Vernon.
Yeah.
God is so marvelous. It's so beyond how he wants to teach and lead us. And wants to use us toward others.
There's Arnold.
Yeah, and Arnold, be encouraged, man. Your influence in that family is likely just begun. Who knows?
Yeah, well, thank you. I had to slip away for a while. We took a family call here. So,
sure.
Yeah, I'll listen to the recording.
Yeah. No, and it'll continue on. And we have to have this trust, God, and trust everybody. God is, he's behind the scenes and working. Before we were recording, I was sharing with the Bettendorfs. Shirley and I encountered an experience yesterday that I'll not share more about right now, but it was another case of he just blew the socks off of us. We walked into a situation and it was just like, here I am and here's what's going on. And we were flabbergasted to tears. So, you know, trust the Father. Mm-hmm. He's there, he's working, he's using us. We're the speaking of Christ. Don't worry about trying to teach, you know, as Jesus said, don't worry. When you stand up in front of kings and magistrates, don't worry what you're going to say. The Spirit's going to give you the words. And he does. And again, don't worry if they're not scripture or Bible orientated or religious in tone at all.
Be thankful they're not.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. Be thankful that they're not.
Yeah. Just speak life. So, Dave, I would love to share that picture or whatever if you come across that with lady.
I'll get in touch. Well, I've got the one. I know Jennifer has some others. I'll ask her to get those with me, and I'll have her contact Melanie and tell her this is what we'd like to do also.
Yeah.
And hopefully she'll be okay with it.
You bet. Well, we just love to share what God's doing, you know, and we see we see God, he's at work. As you just said, you look back on that, Dave, and said, oh yeah, God was there. This is a God thing. So we don't see that until we look back on it and realize, okay, sorry, Father, didn't see it first. you snuck up on me on that one.
Well, you know, but I think he intended it that way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, we had the discussion, I think, while you're on vacation, remember, Arnold, about not having the thought of Christ in me 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I just don't see how that's possible to have that on my mind 24/7. But again, as I was sharing it, that wasn't a thought when I talked to the lady.
Not at all. Right. And it's better off if you didn't.
Yeah.
Guys, this has been rich. I feel like we ought to put a comma here and trust God in our lives for this week, what he's going to do. Try to be watchful, but I'm going to warn you right now, you're not going to be ready to catch everything. It's a lot of stuff he's doing kind of slips by and we never notice it. And a lot of things that are said or we say get kind of go off into the atmosphere and we don't think a thing of it. And so someone says, you remember you said, Dave, you've reminded me of that many times. You've quoted me and I'm thinking, when did I say that?
You know the little punch card you get at a coffee shop sometime? You get, after 10 cups, you get a free one.
Okay.
And they punch it. I think you need to make up some punch cards for all of us. And send them out. And I don't know how many punches you're going to need to put on there, but I think each week we should punch our card so we know we're getting closer to having our ticket punched to get into it.
great idea, David.
Excuse me, guys. Get that chest. That'd be so fun. Well, hey, Arnold. Have a safe trip. You and Julie back home.
We will. I'll share some more experience later on with this.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you will. Yeah, the stories that God, he's going to unfold another story in our lives. So
yeah. Okay, you guys.
Hey, everybody, have a rich day in Christ. Thanks for sharing with me. It's been fun.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, David.
Bye-bye. Have a good week off.
Bye.
Bye now.
Arnold's on the freeway.